everybody, and welcome back to Christmas Clatter. Thanks for everyone that joined us last week as we kicked off this, I want to say marathon, but we're too close to Christmas for it to be a marathon. Not quite close enough for it to be a sprint. So what's between a marathon and a sprint? I don't know. I'm not a runner. If you haven't, my physique hasn't given it away, I'm not a runner. I always say if you see me running, you better run too. I don't know. Half marathon, I guess. That's the closest thing I could think of to it. But, you know, planning out Christmas. I know my mom has started making cookie dough for cookie day in December. We're getting in our minds, you know, when we're going to start decorating. I think we're going to start on October 1st. Starting to plan out, you know, what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. You know, it's mid-August already. It's the 9th as we're recording this. And before you know it, you know, kids are running back. You know, there's places that start back to school this week. I think ours start back to next week. You know, before long, Labor Day will be here. September will be gone. The 16th, so 100 days till Christmas, 16th of September. Then you're in October and then Thanksgiving and then it's over. We don't have that much time, people. Not that much time to get this Christmas thing done for 2023. So don't wait and don't let those people that say it comes earlier and earlier every year discourage you. There's just not that much time to enjoy it and to do everything that you want to do for Christmas. So this episode, I'm going to kind of go through the essential Christmas list to process a little bit better than I did last week with Dwayne. I'm probably going to interact with the chat a little bit more for those listening on the podcast in case there's questions or comments that pop up about it. And I also have a few other little things I'm going to do that I kind of, you know, saved for here. I have a little bit of a show and tell I'm going to do. Once the podcast, and you know what, I'm not going to wait for the podcast to be over for the chat. I'm going to do it here on YouTube, and I'll do it right here early. And that way, if you're listening to the podcast and you want to see, then you can hop over to YouTube and see it. But thanks for all those joining us in the chat. So let's, without any further ado, let's begin this episode of Christmas hodgepodge stuff that I kind of wanted to talk about. First thing, and I don't think I showed this. I got this after Christmas last year. And it's really cool. A little broken. Got one floppy wheel. But I think I put a social media post of it. But I wanted to show it. It's this little plastic Santa. And for those that are watching on YouTube, you can see there's a sucker stick goes in his hand right there. This was my mom's. She got it when, I think she said when she's like 7 years old. So that'd been like 1958 is when she got this. This first wheel, the little plastic clip's broken right there. But she found it cleaning out her, she calls it a storage closet, but it's just storage for all her Christmas stuff. But this thing is so cool. I put it back here on the shelf. It sits next to the ceramic Mr. and Mrs. Claus. But this is the kind of stuff, you know, I love Christmas pop culture and Christmas movies and that kind of stuff. You know, I do the Hallmark ornaments, but I kind of been shying away from like the Christmas movie ornaments and things. And this is the kind of stuff I've been gravitating to, this kind of mid-century look. And yeah, it's wore out and got a little hook here and the string's all brown and gray, but man, you know, just the fact that it was my mom's when she was younger than my youngest daughter is now, you know, it's pretty awesome. But I just wanted to show that here for everybody, a little show and tell. This is the stuff that when I go like the antique stores, thrift stores or whatever, yard sales, this is the kind of thing I'm looking for. I love the movie Elf, but I have enough Elf. I love A Christmas Story, but I have enough Christmas Story. I have enough Christmas vacation. I don't have enough of this stuff yet. So, but yeah, you know, it's important, you know, as we were just talking a while ago about planning for Christmas and all the things we're doing. It's like finding that thing that that you gravitate towards. Some people, it might be the Christmas story or the movie decorations or, you know, Home Alone decorations. I have all that. It's wonderful. There's a little McAllister Lego house behind me, you know, Grinch cookie jar. But finding the thing that, you know, kind of hits home, that makes it feel like Christmas, no matter what, is really important. And that'll change over the years. I'm sure it has for me. I'm sure it has for you. But especially when you find it, that something like that that's been in the family for a long time, you know, a little, you know, how many of those little plastic Santa things got thrown away, you know, or broken to pieces, you know? But to have it in to be able to display it, you know, year round down here, it is pretty cool. And I just want to encourage everybody, just find, you know, this year, find what really that thing you're gravitating towards for decoration or to really highlight Christmas. I know there's a lot of love for vintage and mid-century stuff right now, nostalgic. And I think it's just people's feel for, you know, a simpler time. And that being said, things weren't all that simple back then, because you always just remember the good. It's hard to remember the bad stuff a lot. I mean, you can, but once time passes, it's kind of like there becomes a rose-colored glasses on the past, and it's easier to remember the good a lot of times. So, but yeah, Arnie from Pepper Tree Villa just said it here in the comments that Doug still looking for a vintage aluminum Christmas tree. Yes, Arnie, I think most of us still are. I'd love to find one. I mean, they do make new ones, but they're just not the same. And one of these days, I'll find one. I mean, I could find them all the time, but finding one that I can reasonably afford, that's a whole different story. But yeah, those aluminum Christmas trees are really, really great. But yeah, it's just, you know, thinking about Christmas and how I want to decorate this year, it might be a little different. Or it might be exactly the same. It doesn't matter. But before we move on to the essential Christmas song playlist, and I got something else I want to try. Holly picked these up. I am a pumpkin spice lover. For those that don't know, and if you've heard this story before, I apologize. For my whole life, I didn't like anything pumpkin at all. And I think it was, Holly and I were married 2012, I guess it was, like in the fall. I woke up one morning before work, and I was craving pumpkin pie, which was really odd because I never did like pumpkin pie my whole life before that at all. But I was craving it for whatever reason. I said something to Holly, like, I really want some pumpkin pie really bad. And of course, being wonderful as she is, while I was at work that day, she made a pumpkin pie. And I got my first piece, and I was like, I don't know about this. Why am I wanting this thing so much? And then I ate it, and I was like, oh, where have you been my whole life? You know, it was just all pumpkin from then on without hesitation. I don't know what changed. So this time of year, mid-August, where everybody's waiting for the pumpkin spice stuff to start hitting, like Dunkin's and Starbucks and what have you, Holly found this. I guess Taylor was with her. Now it's open because Taylor and Holly have had some. I have not yet. It's pumpkin spice season, y'all. We have here Werther's Original Harvest Caramels, Pumpkin Spice Soft Caramels. Werther's is wonderful candy, the hard or the soft. And I can't wait to try this. I'm going to try it here on here live on the podcast. If I make too much chewing noise, I will mute my mic because I know that can drive somebody crazy. But this will be my first pumpkin spice thing of the season. I've never had, I mean, I've had these Werther's before, but I'm never in the pumpkin spice. I don't know if they did it last year. If they did, I didn't see it. That's the first time I've ever seen them. But, the, you know, there's so much pumpkin spice stuff that hits the shelves that it's hard to keep up with. But, yeah, you know, like I said, the bag's open, but I haven't had any. It's been all my wife and my youngest daughter. So, but, yeah, they just look like a unassuming soft caramel. It tastes like a normal Werther's. Where's the pumpkin spice? I'm going to have to mute this mic because I got to get this thing out of my teeth. All right. That was pretty good. It tastes like a normal one, but at the end, it felt like a little bit of nutmeg or cinnamon or both at the end. Not near as strong pumpkin spice as I would like, but solid. It's good. I would like it to have a little bit more bold pumpkin spice flavor. Now, that being said, I will have to let everybody know this about myself. I have a real weak sense of smell. So if something is a very subtle taste, I probably won't taste it at all. Delivering mail, sometimes you'll have like an exhaust leak in the mail truck. And I will know when I get a headache, I will never smell it. So that being said, it might be more pumpkin spice flavored than what I let on, just because if it's more subtle, I won't be able to tell. So, I'm not that great for taste testing on certain things, but, I really liked it. I could at the end really get the nutmeg. That's the flavor that really, stood out to me, and a little bit of cinnamon. Holly, if I'm wrong on that, let me know in the comments. So, Ben is saying that Doug is the exact opposite. So that's funny. Yeah. Sometimes I wish, I had a little bit better sense of smell. I have to really watch what I say. I've told people before I don't smell good, and that's right some of the times, but not all the time. So, but, now, Holly's saying, no, it's pretty faint. And she didn't taste the pumpkin spice flavor until the end. Okay, great. So that's good. I don't mind if people do the faint pumpkin spice. You know, just a little bit, a little dab, do you? But, yeah, can't wait. I kind of like the pumpkin spice Cheerios myself. They're kind of my one of my favorites. I don't think I got any last year, but I ate my cereal dry, so yeah. Someone's saying there's green apples. Sean said that there's green apple Werther's. I'll have to try those. So surely they'll be around for the fall. You know, have apple flavor. So, but yeah. All right, guys. Let's talk about this essential Christmas music playlist thing. And I don't know if you know, I kind of think I forgot to put the links to the playlists in the show notes right now, but they will be there if you're listening to this while I'm not recording live. For those in the comments, if the links aren't in the show notes for the playlist, I will put them in there as soon as we're done here. And but they're in the last episode. The playlist is available to follow on Apple Music, Spotify, and YouTube Music. And I just updated it last night. A little tip or trick for you. If you want to know what songs are being added this current week, follow the playlist and look the night before the episodes, because I'll add them the day before. But for those that didn't catch the last episode, last year I did a couple of Christmas music lists, and somewhere along the way said something about what were the essential Christmas songs. And then that something else I said made me think of a to do a playlist, like 101. What's the 101 essential Christmas songs? And I'm like, I'm going to do that. So I have spent since probably late February, early March until about 2-3 weeks before last week's episode, working on this playlist. And originally I had all these rules. For one, it was just going to be 101 songs. And then each artist could only be on there a maximum of 2 times. So if there was, you know, if Bing Crosby was on there for White Christmas and I'll Be Home for Christmas, then he couldn't appear again. Well, in the process of creating the Essential Christmas playlist, some of those rules had to change. For one, the 101 song stipulation is completely out the window. And then two, a certain artist could only appear 2 times on the playlist, again, completely out the window. However, one rule I did have is there could only be 2 artists represent 1 song. So, like for last week, you know, Mary's Boy Child was, you know, Harry Belafonte and Boney M. So there couldn't be anybody else if they had a great rendition of that song, do it. Or Go Tell It on the Mountain was Dolly Parton. And then Frank Sinatra with Bing Crosby. You know, it's 1 song. So no one else, if they had a killer version of that, could be on there. That kind of thing. But certain songs like Last Christmas, just Wham. That's the only version on there. There's been people that cover that song a lot, but that was the only one that could be on there. There is 1 song, and when we get to it later this year, that I'm still debating on breaking that rule for 3, because it's hard. It's hard to figure it out. And at one point I had like 365 songs or 366 songs total, not different songs, but, you know, songs with artists. At one time I was like 5 deep on the artist for a particular song. And I was just scouring the internet. And of course, at first I just listed all the songs I could think of. Then I would scour the internet for lists of songs and playlists and all kinds of stuff. And then I recruited, you know, some other Christmas podcasters that specialize in the Christmas music. And I'm like, what's some songs? And they added some songs and gave me some ideas and this and that. And then I had this whole list of songs, and then it's like, all right, I have all these songs with all these artists on there. How do I eliminate them? How do I define what is essential? And so this is going to sound real kind of wishy-washy, but it was the best way I could do it. It's like, well, one, is it a song that if I played it for someone that had zero ideas what Christmas was, they would get the idea? Two, is it a song that when you hear it, you instantly get like Christmas vibes or you know it's Christmas? And three, if you didn't hear the song, you know, at all during the Christmas season, would you miss it? And there were some other thoughts kind of rolling through my head about that too. And so basically it just kind of boiled down. Did it make the cut? You know, was it, it's like, you know, I know it's essential just because I know, you know what I'm saying? And it's like when you pick someone for the Hall of Fame, you know, a baseball Hall of Fame or something, it's like, you just kind of know a Hall of Famer just because you know they're a Hall of Famer. Yeah, you can point to different stats, whether it be home runs or batting average or defensive prowess. But yeah, it's one of those things you just kind of know. Art said, don't ask. Art said, don't ask me. I have about 1,000 songs on my essential list. Yeah, I have one of those playlists too. And then I realized it's kind of got a lot of, I don't want to say repeat songs. I mean, repeats on there, but then it kind of just gets watered down. I wanted this to, you know, be a little bit more focused. But so the total number of songs, counting songs that are represented by two artists on this playlist, once it's all said and done, and just to remind everybody, I'm releasing 9 or 10 songs every episode through the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, then it'll be complete. And that way it's just kind of a buildup. Also, once I narrowed down all the songs, well, before I did, I put them all in alphabetical order to go through them. And then when I had all the whole list complete where I felt good about the songs, I took all the songs and threw them in on that website. I think it's Pick a Name, where they all kind of go up on like a big Wheel of Fortune wheel and you spin it and it picks one, and you know, at random, and then it takes that name off and picks another one. So I did that, and that's the order they're being released in. Ben, this is where I kind of thought of you at, my friend. I want to ensure that everybody knows that this isn't a list, or this is a list and not a ranking. It's not a, what's better than this one, you know, in order. And even some of the artists that, you know, have the same song on there, it's just kind of random on which one is put first, you know? So it's a list and not a ranking. So, but when all was said and done, there's a total of 170 songs on this playlist. And that includes the ones that have double artists on there. There are 122 unique songs. So if I could do math in my head, that would tell you how many have doubles on there, which would be, what is that, 48 of them have doubles, something like that. So, and there are 106 unique artists. So, you know, several artists appear, you know, more than once. I'll tell you this, there are 70 of the 106 unique artists, 72 of them appear once. 19 have two appearances. There are 6 with 3 appearances. And Ken has a question. How do you pick only 2 versions of White Christmas, Bing, Frank, Andy, or Perry, just for starters? Well, one of those 4 you listed is on the list, and the second one you did not list. So you'll have to wait till we get to White Christmas. And, but 6 of them have 3 appearances. Those 6 artists with 3 appearances, Andy Williams, Dolly Parton, Gene Autry, the Jackson 5, Johnny Mathis, and Kelly Clarkson. 2 artists have 4 appearances, Josh Groban, Michael Bublé. 2 more artists have 5 appearances, Dean Martin and Pentatonix. And then the top 3, Frank Sinatra with 6 appearances, Nat King Cole with 8, and Bing Crosby with 10. So those are the artists that have multiple appearances, more than 2, I should say, because I'm not going to read the whole list of artists that are on there. So that's how it broke down. Sean, it is complicated. It's very complicated. I have this great ability to make things way more complicated than they needed to be on myself. You know, it's just one of those things I get to do. But for those that missed last week, yeah. Oh, Mikey's saying that Dean Martin's version of White Christmas is the best. Well, yeah, maybe, but this isn't a song about the best. It's about the essential. So, it's a good possibility there, Ernie. A good possibility. So, but let's remind everybody. This is the list from last week that we all know about. Warmer in the Winter, Lindsey Stirling, Last Christmas, Wham. You Make It Feel Like Christmas, Gwen Stefani. Christmas Baby, Please Come Home is Darlene Love and YouTube. One More Sleep, Leona Lewis, Go Tell It on a Mountain, Frank and Sinatra with Bing Crosby and Dolly Parton. The Chipmunk Song by the Chipmunks. Mary's Boy Child by Boney M. and Harry Belafonte, or also Harry Belafonte's version, I believe, and Father Christmas, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, and then God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, the Bare Naked Ladies with Sarah McLachlan, and Mannheim Steamroller. So, yeah. So that's what it is for last week, and then the ones added to for this week, which I think there's just 9, and there might be one on here that... I'm going to say there's one on here that probably most of you might not be that familiar with. And if you're not, please, 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 please go listen to it, because it's really great. I listened to it last night again, and I just like, it just gets me in that Christmas spirit, Christmas feels, hits me in the Christmas feels. But for this week, we have the Mr. Heat Miser / Mr. Snow Miser song. We have 2 versions. Rich Chambers, who does a wonderful version with some like Heat Miser, Snow Miser trash talk at the end. Rich Chambers was on the podcast a couple years ago. Has some great Christmas music. This version is one of the most played, and I just love it. And also put Big Bad Voodoo Daddy's version on there. I've always loved that version. Quite a bit. Just has a nice vibe for it. The Holly and the Ivy, probably one of my favorite Christmas melodies, is The Holly and the Ivy, Bing Crosby, and then McKinnon there has those versions nailed down. Now the Bing Crosby version is a melody with another song, but I didn't mind. I needed it on the list. And then Present Without a Bow, Casey Musgraves. Really love this song. It's one of those that when I hear it on Christmas radio, it's just like such a great song, such a cool song. Jingle Bell Rock, Bobby Helms, the 1957 version, not the 1970-ish version. The one with the cool opening guitar lick is the one that made the cut there. Bobby Helms, you can't have a Christmas playlist without Jingle Bell Rock. That's just it. And then Underneath the Tree, Kelly Clarkson. This is from her first Christmas album, Red. It's a great song. It's one of those kind of taking over the airwaves, becoming a classic along the lines of, it's kind of doing that slow burn thing, kind of like All I Want for Christmas Is You, but it's really great. Then I'm Getting Nothing for Christmas, Barry Gordon. This is the original version, and I had to include this one on Apple Music subscribers. This version was not available for whatever reason. So you get the Shirley Temple version of I'm Getting Nothing for Christmas, and which is still a great version. Let It Be Christmas, Alan Jackson, are one of the most underrated Christmas albums. This is one of my favorite Christmas songs. I know it's one of Holly's favorite Christmas songs by an artist that is a legend. Alan Jackson is just an absolute legend. No matter if you're a fan of country music or not, his songwriting and his performance it's just one of those that it just, I don't know what to say about it that makes it so unique, but daggum, he knows what he's doing. And Let It Be Christmas is fantastic. So, and then we're moving on. Hard Candy Christmas, Dolly Parton. Man, this song just, it just gets me every time I hear it. I don't think it's supposed to make you smile, but it does. And I'm not sure. That's just probably just because it's Dolly, you know. But yeah, Hard Candy Christmas. And this last one, by Luke McMaster. If you don't know Luke, go check out his Christmas stuff. He's a great artist, and he's not as big as these others, but his Christmas music is so wonderful, and his music in general so wonderful. Just a great soul singer. He has a song called Raise a Glass. And if you want to be in that Christmas gathering, Christmas thankfulness, Christmas feel, you know, mode, take a listen to Raise the Glass. Like I said, this is probably one that you might not be that familiar with. You know, like Rich Chambers, Luke McMaster's been on the podcast before. And not just because he's been on here, but because this song is that good. He had a couple others that made the list, but didn't quite make the cut of the essential Christmas song list. One for sure was Christmas Present. Yeah, check it out. And these songs have been added to the playlist. I'm seeing a lot of love for Burl Ives, Holly and the Ivy, Mistletoe and Holly by Frank Sinatra is a good one as well. You have to see if that one made the list. A lot of love for Let It Be Christmas in here. And a lot of love for Alan Jackson in the comments. So, just a quick recap for those that are listening and can't see the list. We have the Heat Miser, Snow Miser song by Rich Chambers, and also the version by Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, Holly and the Ivory, Bing Crosby, and McKinnon there, and then Present Without a Bow by Casey Musgraves, Jingle Bell Rock, Bobby Helms, Underneath the Tree by Kelly Clarkson, and I'm Getting Nothing for Christmas by Barry Gordon. And again, if you're an Apple Music listener, you will get the Shirley Temple version. Let It Be Christmas, Alan Jackson, Hard Candy Christmas, Dolly Parton, and Raise a Glass by Luke McMaster. So that is the essential Christmas song playlist additions for this episode. Like I said, a lot of this is real just subjective, you know. It's just, you know, I try to take my favorites, you know, off the list, because I have a few favorites that didn't make this list at all. I try to incorporate a point of view from those that are, you know, from the UK and from the EU, for those that are in Australia and New Zealand. I know in the UK, the Christmas number one is a big deal. And there's a few songs that made it Christmas number one that here in the States aren't played as much. So I wanted to honor those songs as well. So this list is going to be hopefully something that, when it's all said and done, this playlist will be something that if you're the deepest Christmas lover, that maybe you can find a new song and enjoy it, you know. But if you just have the overview of, Christmas, then you'll have a bunch of familiar favorites, but then be, you know, exposed or made aware of other great Christmas songs that maybe, you hadn't heard because they just don't get played that much. So, it's been a lot of fun, and I can't wait. It's been really, thanks Arnie for complimenting the list there. And Jessica, thanks for joining us. And, she's loving the list. She's ready to decorate and get her gift list ready. So I don't blame you. It's been really hard for me not to just be like, here's the whole list, and, you know, and to stretch it out from episode to episode. But it's like, if I just gave everybody a whole list all at once, then it would take away from me being able to just say a little bit about each song or what have you. So, I'm that way anyway. If I buy someone a gift for like their birthday and it's like 3 weeks from their birthday, I'm ready to give it, you know? So, it's been a lot of fun putting it together, and I'll be, releasing all, you know, new additions to the list, even when we have guests on. And my plan is when I have a guest to release those, songs with them on there, so I can get a live reaction from them as well to see, you know, what they think, their thoughts and feelings and that kind of thing. So, but, just a short episode plan for you guys, to clarify what this list exactly is, and how it's going to, I feel like I rushed over it last week when Dwayne, was on here, and, so I did not, I wanted to take time to, make sure we covered it a little bit more thoroughly and things. But if there's any questions, you guys can let me know. You can email me at todd@christmasclatter.com. If you're on Facebook or Instagram, you can follow me there at Christmas Clatter or Christmas Clatter Pod. I think it's all Christmas Clatter now. And, you know, send me a direct message either through Facebook or Instagram. If you have any questions, you know, if there's a song you dearly love and think it might make the list, send it to me. I might have forgot some. And that'd be something we're going to revisit after Thanksgiving. I might have missed some. There's some songs on here that they're listing in the chat that I don't know if I even had on the original list. Like Ken just mentioned Christmas in Dixie by Alabama. I don't think that was in the original list of songs I had. Does it need to be on this list? And so those are the discussions we will have after Thanksgiving once the full list is out. So, yeah. So it's not complete, probably. I don't think I'll take any of the songs off of it, because I think if they got through my filter, then they should stay. And that's another reason I didn't want to limit the number of songs, because it's like, oh, if I add a song,
then does one have to come off the list? And I didn't want to have to play Survivor or The Weakest Link or whatever with a Christmas playlist. But it's going to be a lot of fun. We have a lot of good guests lined up this year for Christmas Clatter. We do have a partner coming aboard, I should say, sponsor, possibly. I like the word partner better. Coming along. I was hoping to talk about them a little bit this week, but it didn't quite work out. I need to get a few things ready. But next episode, we'll definitely be talking about them a little bit. And I think you guys will enjoy them and find them useful. I know me and Holly do very much so. And it's something that, like I said, it'd be free to use too. There's a paid version, but it's super cheap, and there'll be a discount code to make it even super cheaper. So stay tuned next episode for that. And then, also we'll get some, cool new Christmas merch coming out soon. You know, last year I did some like t-shirts and stuff. Moving into the coffee mug world for this year. So look out for that if that's something you're interested in. Good way to support Christmas Clatter. And also, for those that want to do the Christmas puzzle exchange, stay tuned. We'll be having more information on that. We'll be getting that rolling in October. So all kinds of great stuff lined up here at Christmas Clatter as we enter the 5K. Art that said something about the 5K to Christmas. We are in the 5K territory now. And guys, I can't wait. I'm getting excited. I'm getting giddy. It's just too much. It's just too much. The anticipation of the season is strong this year, and I cannot wait. It's going to be a wonderful Christmas, a great way to end this crazy year, and I'm sure going into the next year. But let's not rush it. Let's take it. We're just in August, so let's be planning. If you guys could, let me know, is there something new you're planning for Christmas this year? I'd love to hear it and see what you guys are wanting to do. And Mikey says he's already got a puzzle for the exchange. Thank you. Yes, we'll be doing that. And I want to contact somebody about that to see if we can't make that puzzle exchange a little bit extra, if you will. So, but guys, thank you for joining me so much here on Christmas Clatter on the podcast. If you're listening on the podcast, thank you. I can't express enough how much your time means and for you to take the time to spend it here with me as we do all this Christmas silliness and talk about these things. Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's been, you know, Christmas Clatter is over 4 years old now, and you guys have been so kind and so generous with your time to listen to the podcast. Thank you so much. I want to encourage you, if you get the opportunity to, join us on Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, if all possible, and watch us record this thing live. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun in the chat. We have a great group of people there, and it's just, you know, nice to have a Christmas community. Used to be when you were a Christmas lover like me, it was kind of felt like you were oddball because there wasn't that many people around that were quite the same as you. But now with the internet and things like YouTube and social medias, all this Christmas crazies can gather together and we just know what it feels like when August rolls around, pumpkin spice is hitting the air. You know, the smell of pumpkin spice is hitting the air. School's starting back up. And you feel this little tinge of Christmas creeping in. Not everybody knows what that feels like, but we do. And thanks for joining us. If you can join us on YouTube, we will. Another quick thing before I go. I'm planning an episode. So Edna in here, the chat from Ireland. Thank you for being here live, my friend. I am planning an episode with a special guest from the UK. And if we can get the time locked down, it will be at a time that is convenient for those that get to that live in the UK or Ireland or the EU, Germany, those places. It will be at a time that is convenient and easy for you guys to watch live. It'll be a little early for us here in the States, but that's okay. I don't mind. I will love to be able to go live for an episode for you guys to be able to hop on and enjoy the show. You guys have always been so supportive over there of us, and it's the very, very least I can do. And so hopefully that gets to work out. If not, I'll just plan one at that time anyway. So, but again, guys, thank you so much for joining me here on Christmas Clatter. We'll be back here in 2 weeks. And by then, August will just be about over. Holy cow. And until then, remember, keep Christmas hope alive every day.